Welcome to the first ever episode in English with Jesse. He's here because he is a very inspiring person to me. He's an entrepreneur and also a musician, which is very crazy, a very crazy combination. And yeah, so I'm very excited of him sharing some insights. So please introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Jesse. As you can see on the screen, my musician name is Sidari. I'm just a regular guy. I'm an entrepreneur. I have a few businesses up and running, businesses that I've sold, but my main passion has always been poetry, music, performing, and just having a good time.
Amazing. So to have a kind of icebreaker to get to know you very fast or very quickly, what is your favorite book?
My favorite book is definitely Who Moved My Cheese by Spencer Johnson. It's this small book. It's about 120 pages, really quick read, but it just gets into the nature of change and how it relates to us, our lives, our existence, business, passions, relationship, and how we need to learn to be okay with that change and how to make sure that we move ourselves within the change to continue hitting the same goal that we want to.
Cool. Sounds very interesting. I will definitely check it out. So can you please give an overview of your journey, like where you kind of started and where you are now?
Yeah. I was born on January 6th. No, I'm kidding. 100%. As a person, you know, when I was 9 years old, I got into poetry. I use it as a tool to kind of like express myself. Growing up, when I was 16, I learned that my dad was actually a musician. So I decided to try out hip hop. And it became something that I quickly loved. You know, I had always been with friends who were more into the hip hop scene than I was, you know, because I was more into poetry. But, you know, they were slowly getting me attuned to it. So, you know, from then on, I've never really stopped making music. There have been pauses in my journey, quote unquote, so to say. But, you know, I've never really put a full stop to music. And then in 2019, I did put a stop to it. Not a full stop, but I did put a pause to it. And I decided to open up one of my own marketing firms. The idea behind it was, that was TSF Management. The idea behind it is that I wanted to make sure that I could make enough money to fund any project that I had or that anybody in the indie record label that I was a part of and co-owned with one of my best friends, Zachariah Philippe, since I was in middle school. But we wanted to be able to fund any projects that came from any artist. And the only way I could see that was not with a regular 9-to-5 job, but, you know, getting more into entrepreneurship. So I opened up my marketing firm in 2019, and it started out as a small marketing firm where we worked with not just local musicians to help market their music, but also local businesses to help market their services to the community. By 2021, it had gotten so big that we were taking on bigger clients like Inspire Energy. And because of the work that we did with Inspire, we got them picked up by Shell, the gas company here in America. Because of the work that we did with them, Verizon actually contacted us. And after working with Verizon for about a year or two, things had gotten so intense. The requests that they were making ramped up so much. They were getting so large and hefty that I couldn't hire enough staff quick enough to actually take care of their requests. So in 2022, I had started thinking about the ideas of closing my business down. But instead of just closing it down, I sold it. So after 2022, 2023, I hopped back into the world as a musician. And now I actually work, funny enough, a regular 9-to-5 over at MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art. But, you know, much like anybody who works there, we can all tell you this is just a place to be so that the government has to pay you so that we can actually put money towards what we want to do ourselves.
Cool. Very impressive. I also really like the vision and mission of your marketing firm. Would you say, but also it's interesting, at least to me, that you came back to this musician part. Like, can you tell why? What is so fascinating about being a musician? Like, what does it do with you?
That's a great question. For me, being a musician isn't about anything that's really fascinating. it's more something that I've always felt is just right for me. You know, when I want to express myself, the best way I can do it is with poetry, music. I get to, you know, cipher through my own thoughts sometimes. Sometimes I make music or I write poems that I will never make it to the public at all. And I think I actually have more songs like that than I have songs out. And right now, I have a lot of songs out. So it's not that, you know, it's something fascinating. You know, of course, there are fascinating parts, you know, at the end of the day. I've been on tour. That was always fun. The people I met, the energy I receive, it's always great. But for me, it's more so a feeling that I have that this is what's right for me.
Cool. What about this 365 business? You still have it, right?
Yes, 365 Life Entertainment. It's the indie record label that me and my best friend of over 20 years started. It started out as an idea when we were back in middle school, you know, just a bunch of kids banging on tables, you know, rapping to the beat. But, you know, it really blossomed more into this way that we could create a sense of community with ourselves. So there were four people that have been in 365 Life Entertainment since me and Zachariah were in middle school. We lost contact with one of them. Another one actually went on to find his own record label. His name is Ernest Rareberg. So please check him out if you guys actually have any time. But he's an amazing artist. We were actually just together about a month ago for Zachariah's birthday. So that sense of community really helped us propel the idea into an LLC back in 2015. That's when we started thinking about getting that done. So the indie record label has really been a place for artists to learn not just how to be more of an artist for themselves, but, you know, how to actually turn that art form into a way to make money for themselves. And at this point, 365 Life Entertainment is still up and running. We still make sure that we actually place anything that we put up under that record label, so nobody can, you know, steal our stuff. It's copyrighted.
Cool. I really love, like, the mission is so emotional, like, so passionate. I don't know. It's just like,
yeah. And that's why I feel like music was for me, because that passion. I'm a really reserved guy, as anybody can tell you if they meet me. But that passion goes all the way into music. And if you hear it, we can tell.
Yeah, definitely. We will come to this later. You have to check them out. So as an entrepreneur, you are facing changes and challenges. How do you deal with them? If this is correct English.
It is correct English. I told you, you're doing great.
Thank you.
You have to believe in yourself. As far as challenges and changes, I face them head on, honestly. That was something that I always had a problem with when I was younger. But, you know, stepping into entrepreneurship, learning more, reading more, getting to know more about myself and the fields that I'm in, it builds a sense of confidence. So, you know, right now, at this point in my life, I just face the challenges head on. It doesn't matter what's happening. It's either I'm going to make it out of this situation or I won't. And if I don't make it out of this situation, I'll just rebuild something else, which I've done before. So,
crazy. It sounds easy, but to be honest, it's not, as I can experience now.
It's not. It's way easier said than done, but it has to be done. I refuse to be homeless.
Yeah, it really needs to be done. So talking about limiting, or speaking of limiting beliefs, can you tell us and me what limiting beliefs you had and also how you kind of shifted them on this journey?
100%. You know, as a kid growing up, as I said, I had to find this sense of confidence before. So one of my biggest limiting beliefs when I was a kid is that I didn't deserve anything good. And, you know, that's no downplaying my parentage. My parents have always been great, but, you know, we all have our own issues that we go through that we don't speak about. But for me, it was that I didn't deserve anything good. And, you know, once I did gain that sense of confidence, not only from the business, not only from entrepreneurship, but being able to express myself as a poet and as a musician, I started to express the ideas and the thoughts that were in the back of my head that I do deserve things that are great despite what I'm going through. Another limiting belief that I've always had, no longer, is that what you have is always determined by who you are and where you come from. That's more of a thing that you see here in America. You know, at the end of the day, America is a place that will place one person ahead over another, whether it's because of gender, race, who knows. But for me, that idea was kind of always there in the back of my head. And one of the biggest things that has helped me grow past that is watching my mother, honestly. She is an amazing woman. She has 4 degrees, more than I will ever get because I do not care about school that much. She works as a manager in CPS, the Child Protective Services, and she's been doing that for over 20 years. She has her own house in Pennsylvania. She's married, been married for 22 years now. So at the end of the day, I see my mother as this successful woman, and her mother is this old woman who's pushing 90 now. She came to America when she was 25 in the 1950s. So realizing that my mother came from quote unquote almost nothing, really helps me realize that it isn't about where you come from. It isn't about who you are. It's about the work that you put in. And one more limiting belief. This one, it was always stupid in my opinion, but that I have to do things alone in order for the result to really be worth anything. And that kind of kept me away from a lot of people. Funny enough, you can see that in my music as well, where there are little to no features in the beginning of my musical career. I didn't want anybody else on a song with me because I felt like I could do it myself. Like I wanted it to be fully me. But nowadays, you know, I'm on features. There's a feature that's coming out with another artist called Blood on the Moon, coming out on April 10th, I believe. You know, we put a lot of work into that one. You know, working with artists like Grand Numa, working with my best friend, who's also an artist and a producer, it just really gets me to understand. It really got me to understand that there's this sense of community that I was missing out, and that the help I get from others can help me reach so many more goals than just by doing it by myself. I think the quote was, "If you want to go fast, go by yourself, and if you want to go far, go with others."
Oh, that's very, very good message. Really, really inspiring what you're saying here. So what would you say in conclusion, maybe if you can, put it in conclusion or put it in a nutshell, what was necessary to shift these limiting beliefs?
Yeah. For the first one, just loving myself more, you know, loving myself to the point where I believe that I was deserving of good things. The second one, again, the second one was what you have is more determined by who you are and where you're from. For me, to summarize that, 100%, love your process, trust your process. And lastly, trust the people around you. it is very easy to not do so. It's very easy to think that everybody else is dumb, or everybody else won't put as much energy or passion into the projects that you create for yourself. But it is always going to be harder to ask for help. But I can guarantee that the results that you get by putting two heads together are always going to be better than the results you get by doing it alone.
That's really, really inspiring as everything. To me, you're just an inspiring person. Would you say, you also studied psychology. Would you say it helped you, or it's kind of have a connection to being an entrepreneur, musician?
Yeah. I'd say both. It helped me, and it definitely gave me a lot of different insight on situations. You know, one of the biggest things that psychology teaches you is to be able to study people. And I believe that being an entrepreneur is way more about being able to work with people than it is being able to work with business. And the same goes for music. You know, making music is about being able to connect with people. Yes, at the end of the day, I am giving up my own story, but I have to make that story, if I want that music to be public, I have to make that story relatable. One of the worst things for artists is that they get older and they get less relatable because they're making more money now. You know, Kanye West is unrelatable for the simple fact that he makes millions and he is going a little bit crazy, whatever. Jay-Z tries to be relatable still, but his wife is one of the most successful artists in music history. Beyonce knows. He is one of the most successful artists as far as money goes in music history. So people get older and they get less relatable. I want to make music that is still relatable. And that's why my music always focuses on the emotions that I have, the emotions that a person can deal with. And that definitely comes from the psychology background of being able to understand myself, being able to understand the relationships I have with others, and being able to understand others, point blank.
Cool. Makes sense. Makes sense. So three questions my community had. Why did you want to become self-employed?
Oh, because working for people sucks. it just sucks. People suck. Here in America, one of the weirdest things that I found both in business and in psychology is that most CEOs, you'll find, have some sort of psychopathy. They are insane. They have less regard for people, which is why you'll find situations like Luigi Mangione, you know, doing what he did to that CEO, because CEOs have to, especially the bigger ones, they have to have less morals than other people, in my belief. So, working for somebody who had less morals just didn't make sense, you know? So for me, I felt like if I started my own company, I could do it with morals and make a lot of money at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. I have the same goal. So second question. Yay. What advice would you give your younger self today?
Ooh. Mm. It's going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. Growing up, I had the tendency to overthink on situations. But looking back, there has never been a situation where things were not okay. And even when I was homeless for a short while, at that point, I had already cultivated this mindset. But there are tons of situations where, you know, before I was able to cultivate the idea that everything is going to be okay and I'll get through this situation as long as I put my mind towards it. There are tons of situations where I just didn't have that mindset. So definitely passing that knowledge on. Everything's going to be okay.
Okay. Yeah. Mantra. So third question, what has been your biggest learning as an entrepreneur? I mean, we kind of had it before, but maybe you can. Yeah. Repeat it again.
The biggest thing that I've learned as an entrepreneur, you know, it ties into that book, Who Moved My Cheese, is that change is a constant. You know, this is something that permeates not just business life, not just personal life, not just relationship life, not just financial life. I mean, it permeates everything. Change is the only constant that exists. So you have to learn to be okay with change, and you have to learn to adapt to move with that change.
So would you say, one question from me, would you say dealing with changes is necessary to become an entrepreneur, like successful entrepreneur?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I see being an entrepreneur as being a plant. Now, just bear with me on this. So a plant has two main functions, to grow and to spread its seeds. As a business owner, as an entrepreneur, no matter what you're doing, your first idea is to grow. And you cannot grow if change is not something that you're adapted to. Plants are adapted to deal with the change in their environment. They actually grow because of the change in their environment. Plants grow because it rains, and they grow because it's sunny. That change is constant. You have to grow. And the second part is that a plant can only spread its seeds when change is occurring as well. It has to be a windy day for plants that are pollen-based to spread their seeds far away. And their seed might just land somewhere that is completely different from the environment of their original home, which means a change is occurring from before this plant has even grown. So you have to constantly be able to adapt to change in order to grow and, of course, spread your seed. And by spread your seed, I don't mean make babies. I mean, you know, if you're running a restaurant, you, of course, you want to make sure that you turn it into a chain business. You know, if I ran a restaurant, which I do not, and I have no plan on doing so, I've never wanted to work in the food industry. But if I ran a restaurant, I would want to have not only one here in New York City, but, you know, another in Chicago, maybe another in Germany. You know, and Germany is a completely different culture than New York City is. And I could only make sure that my business grows, thrives, and continues to move forward by changing to the environment, changing and adapting to the environment that it's in.
Mind-blowing. I don't know who's not mind-blown, however it's called yet, but crazy, crazy. Yeah. So in general, what would
I've been working a lot with plants.
Yeah. So what would you recommend people who want to be an entrepreneur, like maybe three learnings out of this whole episode of us?
Okay, so first, as I said, learn to be okay with change. Firstly, not just in the business sense, but in your personal life. You know, we are very rigid sometimes. And one of my biggest things that I've learned is that, yes, while an oak tree is very rigid and strong and it can stand against most things, if an oak tree doesn't have the flexibility of the palm tree, there are things that that oak tree won't be able to withstand. So definitely being able to switch from that rigidness to that flexibility is something that you should be able to learn how to adapt for. Second thing, learn how to read more. There are tons of situations that can be absolutely skipped over because you read a book where somebody already went through that same situation. As an entrepreneur, you need to constantly be feeding your mind because that is your moneymaker, you know, at the end of the day. And lastly, talk to your family. It is very easy as an entrepreneur to get into this idea of, not even idea, into this zone of isolation where you're constantly working. And you need the people around you. So talk to your family every once in a while. You know, shoot a quick message. Just check in on them. Not only family, but friends. You know, make sure that you still have that community around you, because that community can ultimately be what saves you at one point. But, and this is a big but, do not allow anyone in that community to drag you down. Quickly cut them off. I don't care if it's your grandmother, your mother, your father, your brother, your best friend of 20 years, your worst enemy of 20 years. It's okay to cut people off. If they do not deserve to be part of your journey, let them go.
Yeah, 100%. I 100% agree. So thank you so much for all of your insights. If someone wants to listen to your music or reach out to you, how can they get in contact?
Yeah, 100%. On Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, anything you look for, my artist name is Sedari, Sedari. And you can reach out to me on any social media platform under Worldwide Sedari. There's no special spelling of anything. So World, W-O-R-L-D, Wide, W-I-D-E, Sedari, Sedari. That's about it. It's like a 50-50 chance that I'll respond. You know, you can ask any of my friends, anybody, that sometimes I just am not on my phone.
That's amazing. I'm also not on my phone sometimes. But I will also link it below in the show notes. So thank you, Jesse or Sedari, and I will catch you on the next episode.